As always, even though the intro says two guys gaming, this is in fact one guy reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club. Hello and welcome, I'm Sean, Noob of All Trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this series I am reading and reacting to the last book in the latest Dragonlance series, trilogy, whatever you want to call it, Dragons of Destiny. It's going to sound like a confessional or an anonymous meeting, but as you know, it's been 2 months since I last recorded, and before you ask me why it took 2 months to get a roughly 10 to 15 minute, probably closer to 12 minute podcast out there, just don't ask, and I won't have to answer that question, and we'll just move on and continue to enjoy things and hope that things fall back into a more steady rhythm going forward, and I get the last episode out this weekend, and then I can start with the next book that I'm going to read. As I always do in the series, I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of the chapters that I read, and then I will give you my thoughts about those chapters. Episode 5, the penultimate series of this episode, chapter 29. Taz kept running in spite of the fact that he didn't know where he was going. That's how adventures start, but he wasn't interested in adventures. He just wanted to be left alone. Nobody told him where to take the dragon lances, especially not Fizban. While he walks, he kicks rocks and stumbles on a man dressed in the Salamnic armor. Taz introduces himself, and the man returns the favor. Kiri Jildith. The god? I know another god, Fizban. Yes, I know he's your friend. He told me to find you here. He did? Taz tries to change the subject. You look like you've been in a lot of battles. I have. I guarded the gateway to heaven. Takesis tries over and over to close it. Sounds wonderful. I'd love to visit. You have?
I have?
Home of the gods. I need to be going. Yes, you must go and you must tell them to go to Goldstone with the Dragonlances. I don't want to. Because that's where Flint died?
Yes.
But you healed him, yes, so he might not die. How do I know? Unfortunately, you don't. But the knights, elves, and dragons will all meet to drive back the Dark Queen. Okay, I will tell them. You have the heart and soul of a knight. Can I have a helm to go with them? Kiri Jildith answers by leaving Taz to his mission. Chapter 30. Meanwhile, Raistlin and Caramon search for the wine cellar to find the dragon orb. Caramon annoys Raistlin by following too closely to him and nearly stabbing him with his sword. They talk some about the spell needed, how Raistlin came about the staff, and that they may in fact be lost. Raistlin fears that might be the case, but they stumble upon the Pilgrim's Gate, which means the Knight's Gate is next. Raistlin coughs. Caramon offers help. Raistlin needs space and quiet to think. He remembers the interaction with Magius and leads the way to the wine cellar. How did Magius tell you?
He came to me in a dream.
To find wine? Must be some good wine. What if they found and destroyed it? It has protections against danger. Hopefully it doesn't think we're a danger. Damn, that's a good point. They search until they quote-unquote run out of cellar. Then the Hoopak points them to the orb. Broken. Why didn't it shatter? Instead, it broke into 5 pieces. We could easily glue it together.
Glue? What the hell?
Wait. Another astute observation from his brother. He casts a spell to reveal the orb unbroken. Now look for the velvet bag to hold it. They take the orb to meet with the rest of the party. Taz believes his Hoopak to be magical because Raistlin used it to find the orb. As they sit, Taz eventually relents and tells them that they need to go to God's home. Raistlin can't send him there because he's never been. Yes, I have. Never mind why. As they reminisce, parenthetically, not all good memories, in parenthetical, Kit and Sky show up. Chapter 31. The companions hide and plan while Kit and Sky plot to find them in the Dragonlances. Sky wakes Cyan, the green dragon, left on guard. They're bickering
offers Raistlin the distraction he needs to prepare the traveling spell. Cyan eventually tires of the abuse and takes off. Kid asks Sky if he can call out to the orb. Raistlin, ready to cast the spell, panics that the orb will give away their position. They need to go. Now. Sturm refuses. He picks up a lance, ready to take on Sky. Taz joins him. Flint follows Taz. Tanis, too, will stay. Left with no choice, Raistlin must also stay. So, only Caramon goes. Raistlin assures him that the orb cannot harm him. The spell cast, Raistlin rests against the wall, unable to help any further. Chapter 32. Sturm waits for the dragon. Sky first tries his breath weapon that misses. He then uses his dragon fear. Sturm waits for the feeling to pass. When both those attacks fail, both Kit and Sky become impatient. Sky comes in two for a closer attack. Sturm hurls the lance, catching the dragon in the chest. It causes the dragon to crash, throwing Kitiara off. She runs to tend to him. Sturm runs to meet her. Tanis, Taz, and Flint arrive just in time to see the dragon come down. They also notice that Raistlin remained, but Caramon is gone. Taz runs to find Sturm. Tanis and Flint again follow him. He then decides to take his magic kupak and slay the dragon. Meanwhile, Sturm and Kitiara face off. She tries to distract him with insults, but he holds firm. Flint comes to join him. This startles him, and Kitiara takes advantage. They tangle. Kit calls out for help. Sky unleashes another bolt. Flint loses his balance. Sturm reaches out to save him. Kitiara uses the distraction to knock Sturm out. Chapter 33. Taz needed to save his friends from the dragon. His fear, parenthetically, yes, Kender feel fear, in parenthetical, for them and their well-being, forces him to come up with a plan. A frontal assault is out of the question, so he sneaks up on the dragon. When he sees Kit brain Sturm, he thinks for a moment. To help him, he will need to take out the dragon. He gets into place, hoping to take out the dragon before he can cause more harm. He uses the hupak to attack, and nothing. Taz tries some magic words, but still nothing. Desperate, he drops the hupak and grabs his dagger. Time to stab the dragon in the tail. Sky moves his tail, exposing his foot. Taz strikes. Chapter 34. Tanis, hoping the Fizban watches over Taz, chooses to help Flint and Sturm with Kit. She tries to play the upper hand, but the dragon lances are gone. Sky is wounded. Tanis offers her the chance to leave. He'll never make it in time if the dragon chooses to attack. They all slowly make their way into an advantageous position. The dragon rears to strike and then howls in pain. He attacks Taz, who runs like a bat out of hell. Flint rushes at Kitiara, tackling her. He nearly goes off the side with her. Taz grabs him and helps to pull him back. Sturm wakes up, looking for his sword. Tanis brings it to him. Sky tries to rouse Kit, but can only place her in the saddle precariously. He takes off, flying slowly because of all the injuries. Should I call it Dragon Slayer now? You can call it whatever you want. Dragon Foot Stabber? Nah, Goblin Slayer. They gather and meet up with Raistlin again. He gives Sturm some first aid, and they settle in for the night. Tanis takes first watch, Sturm second, Flint third. Tanis falls asleep, woken up by Flint. They need to prepare to go to God's home. Tachesis attacks the tower. Destina and Karen must come through on their mission. If not, they must be prepared for battle here and now. Chapter 35. They travel to God's home with little fanfare, well, almost. The magic of the place prevents them from entering via the spell. It takes a moment to orient themselves and find Caramon. He tells them that the dragon lances are with a quote-unquote knight inside God's home. Knight? He tells them to follow. Flint says that this will be his last adventure. Tanis, remembering his death, admonishes him for saying that. Sturm asks about the knight. Sir Kiri or something. Kiri Jalith? Yes. Sturm tells Caramon that he's a god. Caramon mentions that he's here to fight the Dark Queen. Tannis sighs. No point in sending the Dragonlance for safekeeping there. Right to where she is. Good. We are to be bait, Raistlin reminds. Flint chaffs. Chafes? Chuffs? Huffs? I don't know. They're all insane. Well, the Dark Queen should strike in the pass soon. As long as we are here, keeping her busy, we have done our part. They enter God's home. Tannis wonders if this Thena will be successful. Why do they still remain in chaos time? Raistlin, for his part, cannot respond. Chapter 36. They come into a bowl in the middle of once 21 pillars stood, all but one now destroyed. The pool in the middle, once a mirror of the sky, is now black. Tachesis brought down her fury, one unable to take it. Where are the Dragonlances? I swear I put them over there. Let's ask the knight. Maybe he knows. Kyrie Jolith is indeed in a bad way. Taz suggests that Raistlin use some of healing salve. Kyrie Jolith is a god. There's nothing I can do. A thunderous voice answers when Taz asks about gods not being able to die. A loud, deafening clap tears open the passage, and a large minotaur with a warhammer enters. Sturm intervenes. Stand aside. I mean him no harm. I've come to speak to my old foe. Sargonus offers himself as an ally, this time in the fight against Tachesis. He reduces her pillar to dust and proclaims that he and the Minotaur will fight with the knights. Sturm offers to help. No, the heroes of Lance have done well. The gods must now step up. Tachesis enters with fury and rage. Taz tries to run back. Tannis grabs him to scout ahead. The battle of the gods goes on. Blood and debris rain down on them. In her anger, Tachesis freezes the passage with her breath. That melts, and they notice the gods are gone. In the melee, the dragon orb broke. For real this time. Raistlin tells Caravan not to worry. It's probably for the best. All they can do now is wait to see if the River of Time catches up to them. While they wait, Caramon laughs. Surprisingly, parenthetically, or maybe not, that makes Raistlin nostalgic. This makes Tannis think of a past that they won't remember and a future that hopefully consists of their past. And now for my initial thoughts. Wow, this section really does have it all. A dragon attack, on the run from the forces of evil, with priceless artifacts, a battle between the gods, with a hasty retreat. Then after all of that, some time to breathe and reflect. Kidiar and Sky got what's coming to them. Raistlin continues his retribution tour. Taz, Tannis, Sturm, and Flint do their part to ensure that the tide begins to turn against Tachesis. I miss some of the secondary characters like Goldmoon, Riverwind, and Lorana. Though honestly, not that much, because I only now realized that we left them a few chapters back. Besides, this isn't their story anymore. Who cares about a blue crystal staff when the gray gem is out there fucking shit up? So I forgive the oversight, if it is even an oversight. Maybe they'll release an anthology filling in the gaps, like they did before. I know I said this another time, but maybe I'll write that story. I need to start writing again. New characters. Gods! Kyrie Jolith sends Taz to complete his mission. He then meets Caramon at God's home after the destruction at the hands of Tachesis. When all looks lost, Sargonus shows up. He throws off the Dark Queen as a consort and vows his allegiance against her. I think we met him in a previous story in one of the aforementioned anthologies. Even though the gods exist on the opposite ends of the good-evil spectrum, their lawful tendencies, parenthetically, can you tell that I'm old-school D&D, and parenthetical, bring them together as allies. I also love them both in this brief interaction. I need to see if I miss some books along the way. I want more of these stories of the gods. Character development and world building. Through Taz, they develop some Kendra lore. I think they dealt with this previously. However, new readers kept hearing how Kendra are fearless. Named for the German word for children, this makes sense. Kids always approach danger as if they had no fear. Well, this time they discuss how that characterization actually misrepresents the entire situation. Similar to how kids cover their fear, parenthetically, or ignore it in situations, Kendra do feel fear. The fear manifests in a specific area. Furthermore, like Taz, you hide your fear to feel it more in private. That gives the illusion of no fear. The other major development came with the gods. They spend only a couple of paragraphs, but tell a history that's rich and interesting. I said it before, but it bears repeating. I'd read the hell out of any anthology series about the gods of Kryn. Speaking of gods, they build God's home for us this time around. Since they haven't resolved the issues in the past, not much changes during chaos time. However, small victories like the one over Kit and Sky, and the successful, parenthetically hopefully, and parenthetical distraction at God's home, brings hope that everything turns out okay. Pacing. Very different style this time around. They focus mainly on the chaos time party. At the end, it looks like they plan to shift to the past, and that party's attempt to right things. You might think that means that the pacing suffers as a result. I'm happy to report that's simply not true. They still move the story along at a good pace. So much happens here. The fight with Kit and Sky, finding, parenthetically, and destroying the Dragon Orb. The search for the Dragon Lances. The destruction and battle at God's Home. Conversely, you might argue that too much happens too fast. I understand that argument, but just because I understand it doesn't mean that I agree. Did you say that along with me? You know that's one of my sayings. Maybe the gods at the end receive too little time and attention. While I admit that's true, two things. One, while Kryn gods interfere in the lives of mortal, they claim it's as a last resort. So unless the story revolves around the gods specifically, they only give you a glimpse of the gods and their part in the overall plot. I said two things, and now I forget the second. Damn. Oh, I got it. Two, if they intend to put this out as a teaser for new stories about the gods, mission accomplished, and I, of course, want more. Now for what I liked least. At the risk of sounding too predictable, I think at this point, you know what I'm going to say. That won't stop me from saying it, because I got 15 minutes to fill here. If you know, bear with me, and skip ahead a few minutes. If not, enjoy. What I liked least is that the book is almost over. Not only that, but the trilogy comes to an end after this one. Not only that, but new books won't be released until next year. This is the end. The end for a while now. I don't think I can handle that. Granted, I have plenty of other books to keep me occupied, parenthetically, and keep the show going, in parenthetical. But Dragonlance represents a formative experience in my life. I started playing Dungeons & Dragons because of Dragonlance. I later read Lord of the Rings and found them fundamentally boring, parenthetical. I do love the movies, though, in parenthetical. Later in life, because they didn't offer the same experience as Dragonlance. My love for all things sci-fi and fantasy stem from Star Wars and Dragonlance. I know eventually we need to shed the whole veneer of youth. I don't remember the quote, and I'm too lazy to Google it. Oh shit, I just Googled it, and it's that spare the rod, spoil the child bullshit. Never mind, I'm not giving shit up then. I didn't plan to, but this now takes on a whole different direction. I'm going to Michael Scott meme this. Embrace my childhood things even harder. I have no idea how I might even do that. I already spend too much money on D&D and Warhammer. I have a webpage and a podcast dedicated to silly childish things. But as recent history shows us, your defiance doesn't need to make sense or even mean anything at all. Just throw shit at the wall until you find yourself in that zeitgeist and people amplify your message. If that's you, we need to come up with a catchphrase for this phenomenon. I'm no good at that. Workshop it, and we'll circle back later. As far as I know, I'm talking to the voices in my head, but it all sounds cool. And who knows? Maybe there's someone else out there at the other end. I can only hope. What I liked best. I went wide in the last section, so I'll go super specific in this one. Again, that might ring familiar to regular listeners. Also, if you've been paying attention, you'll know what I'm about to say here. I think I tipped my hand pretty heavily this time. But as I said, time to fill. Plus, maybe I can say something new or make it entertaining. Once again, a lot to like in this section. A glimpse into Taz's psyche, the fight against Sky and Kit, Raistlin's confirmed redemption arc. But the thing I liked best and stayed with me is the interaction between the gods. I can't 100% explain it. Like I just said, it came late and possibly felt rushed to some. But something about the scene spoke to me. Granted, I'm a sucker for garden myths. Yes, even some of the old Greek and Roman myths contain some, let's say, not safe for work content. But the rewrite, parenthetically so to speak, are entertaining. I mean, the Disney and Marvel versions of Hercules and Thor, among others. While D&D gods come with those same types of mythos, and without the bestiality, Dragonlance especially leans into the gods, as mortals trope, mostly just for comic relief with Fizban or for abject terror with the Dark Queen. But then every once in a while they give the gods a genuine purpose or a legitimate storyline. Earlier in the story, Rorks helped the heroes. This time, while they technically fought on the side of the heroes, they fight in the background. The main focus of the interaction is an old foe that comes as an ally. Not an alliance for good, but out of need. Even so, during the exchange, you can tell they both admire and respect the other. They've fought together before, and they most likely will again. What I want from those is one of those previous adventures, the time that they set their avatars to Kryn for a less apocalyptic event. I have no idea what that might be. Hey, it's been established. I'm not the best-selling author. Besides, I think it just might be fun. What can I say? I'm a sucker for screwball buddy cop stories. And now for my final thoughts. There it is, the penultimate episode for Dragons of Eternity. Are you as sad as I am? Don't cry because it ends. Smile because it happened, or something like that. But seriously, I know the people on the internet, trademark, probably hated the books. I don't care. Sure, it didn't initially click with me, but I stuck with it, and I'm glad that I did, because I enjoyed the series and the story they told. Until the next series of books comes, I do have other books for the podcast. I also need to do the Jurassic Park movie verses. Until those new books, though, from Dragonlance, I will miss Kryn, and I look forward to our return there. As always, thanks for listening. You can find us, if you haven't already, at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have this podcast. I have some articles. I've cut down to one article a week because I'm focusing on other things. The YouTube has been more active lately now that I've discovered YouTube Shorts. And I've also cut down on the articles, so it gives me more time to record YouTube videos. I've been really active on Instagram and TikTok even lately. TikTok, I'm at NoobDad76. Instagram, I'm at NoobAndBlonde. I haven't done any Twitch stuff yet, any streaming stuff, but that'll probably come in the next couple of months, I imagine. I will talk to you again soon, hopefully this weekend, to get this series done. And then we can move on to the next book, which you can find in the show notes. Talk to you then. Bye, guys.